everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Thrive Daily Podcast, podcast for the 5%. We're all about that new mindset and new perspective, giving you the fuel you need to thrive on the daily. I do not know what episode we're on, but we're rocking and rolling with this Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday thing. It is currently Friday, and I am sitting here with Beth. Say what's up, Beth.
Hey, what's up?
I'm eating this thing. What is this called? Yazo Game Changer Mint Chocolate Chip Ice Cream Bar thing. Hey, Scott Frog.
It's a Greek yogurt bar.
Greek yogurt. 5 grams of protein.
Bougie.
Really, really good. just finished eating this chicken pizza. So good, Beth. You're a good cook. Aldi's is awesome. are doing a special episode today. For those of you who don't know, Beth is really cool, and I wouldn't bring someone on to the podcast unless I thought that they had something of value to give to you guys, because this every single episode that I do, I want it to be legit, value-packed, no BS, like straight-up goodness, that way you keep coming back, and I'm setting a high standard for all of us here. Beth.
Yes, Jake.
How you doing?
I am fantastic. How about you?
Good. I want to hop right in to talking about some stuff here. You mentioned, we're going to actually go real deep real quick. You mentioned weaknesses on the DMs. By the way, Beth, plug your Instagram.
Woo! Hoffman, Beth Ann, A-N-N-E.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
On Instagram?
Yes, exactly. Cool. Is that what you're...
Mine's,
I'm not a YouTuber, so...
At Jameis Darnes. And we're talking on the DMs. That's where I live, so...
he does not respond to text messages.
I don't.
But he will respond to DM.
I respond to your DM. I will not respond to your text message. She mentioned weaknesses, right? And did you... What, you asked me?
Yeah, so I wanted to know what your... Like, what's your greatest weakness?
I told her, no. Because I wanted to save it for the podcast.
He did.
Actually, no. That's what triggered us wanting to do a podcast. Because she's like, what was your weakness? And I was like, we need to wait for the podcast. And I was like, well, frick, let's do it tonight. Let's go to the gym and then do it.
Because, of course, we got to get gains first.
Well, what is your weakness? Or you want me to go first?
Why don't you go first?
All right. She's flipping around. Because now I'm getting interrogated.
I'm really good at questions.
So, what's cool is I'm self-aware enough, I believe, to know what some of my big weaknesses are. The one that I was self-aware enough to know on my own without anyone telling me is my dad had input on this. There are two main things. Number one, I can be easily influenced. This is pretty cool. I can be easily influenced, not by anyone, but by people that I resonate with certain qualities about. And I don't know if that makes sense. Basically, if there's somebody that has something about them that I'm attracted to.
You admire.
Like that I admire, and I'm not talking about relation. I mean like a quality. A character quality that I resonate and I'm drawn to, even if they have a lot of bad tendencies, I'll be drawn to them because of the good thing, but pick up the bad stuff too.
Yeah.
And I'll try to mimic the good quality that person has, but I'll mimic the rest of them.
So you can chameleon.
Right. I chameleon. And that's something my dad told me. He was like, Jabe, I want you to know. He's like, something you've got to be careful about is it's good that you're attracted to these good qualities, but you pick up the bad ones too. Mm. You're easily influenced by people that you admire certain things about. I was like, well, frick.
Well, it's also humbling because it shows you the power of like our own, like the good qualities we carry, realizing that we actually can... like our downfall if we're not continuing to pursue healing and
right.
like bettering ourselves, that will be picked up by other people as well.
It will. That's one. And the other one is Well, how do I say this? So, the other one, and this is another one. Okay, parents have an influential role in your life, okay? Really influential. My dad knows me very well. And so, this was another one that he actually told me. And that's why I love my dad, because he's telling me things that other people probably notice, but they don't have the balls to say, but he's my dad, so you can say that. The other thing is, I have a problem with authority. Why do you laugh? Why are you laughing? Is it that obvious?
For sure.
How? Whoa! What?
Because, like, you're just... Like, it's not necessarily... I haven't seen it yet in manifest itself in a bad way. Okay. But you're just, like... I mean, how old are you?
17.
So you're 17, and you're already starting all of these major ventures. You're traveling constantly. You're, like, creating a business, creating a brand name for yourself.
Right.
You're pushing the boundaries on every authority figure that would tell you you're 17 and should be in school. And you should
That's good.
But, like, it's a good thing in a lot of ways. It's not a bad thing.
You're seeing that
I'm seeing characteristic, this positive side of it.
But you're seeing that characteristic of me, but in the good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will always see the potential. That's, well, we can talk about that later. But yeah.
That's cool. So yeah, she sees it from that side. My dad knows me. I don't have a problem with authority that I respect. And that's the key. So the problem is, in my life so far, there have been a lot of times where there's been a person of authority put in place above me, but their leadership skills are crap. Like, they're they make decisions, and their personality a lot of times is not good. And so if they rub me the wrong way and they do things that make me not respect them as a person, I don't want to listen to their authority. And then the authority just becomes a title. And I don't respect titles. I respect people. And so, and that's, I'm not saying that's a good thing, because you've got, sometimes you're not going to like people all the time, but you still got to respect them. And that's what my dad told me. He said, you have a problem with authority. If you don't respect them, or if you don't respect them as a person, you don't respect their authority.
Absolutely.
Those are my two. And that's something I got to work on. So thank you for picking that apart and making me share that with everyone. It's all about transparency. My friend Katie has a tattoo, says transparency.
Yeah. So I struggled with that same thing. Like, I'm totally, my personality, I like leading, and I'm good at, I'm a good leader, and I know I'm a very good leader.
Okay.
But I actually prefer to follow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I for sure 100% prefer to follow someone if they are a good leader. If they're a good leader, I'm like, totally wanting to just settle in and let you take responsibility.
Why do you lean towards following versus leading if you're naturally good at being a leader? Because naturally, when you, I mean, there's times where...
Okay, because most of my life growing up...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, here we go.
I have a very interesting growing up.
I know where this is going.
But long story short, I was under a lot of responsibility. I had to grow up very, very fast. So I didn't necessarily have very much of a childhood.
Why did you have to grow up really, really fast? She's smiling because you don't want to go here. But why did you have to grow up? Beth, why did you have to grow up really fast?
Things that just happened within the family and responsibility that came upon that just, it
became
unnecessary.
You're being so broad right now.
Yeah, because it's not necessary yet.
I want to push that further. I really do.
I know you do.
But she's giving me the stink eye.
It's taking us away from the conversation.
Yeah, you're changing the subject. But anyways.
No, you did.
Well, I want to get on that rabbit hole, but we'll close that one for now. Anyways, continue.
Just with my raising, I have always had to be leader. I was forced into it. It was survival mode. It was meant I had to be the one that stood up and went, the world's falling apart, and I'm going to be the one that's okay. I'm going to make sure everything else is okay.
So you just kind of want to sit back and relax a little bit.
Yeah. I like really enjoy it now. Like, if there's actually a good leader, there's safety if there's a good leader,
yeah, right.
I can relax. I feel like I can step into more of my childlike personality. I'm very goofy and weird.
Yeah, you
but
are.
But that does not come out.
Right. Like, well, That okay, and I think that's cool, because that's cool that you're in a place, because a lot of people have too much of an ego to where they couldn't be led. And that's something that people are speaking into my life right now. And this phase is, if before you can lead, you had to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm learning. And I've pretty much been a leader type of personality since I was from day one. But I've had to really work on taking a back seat,
mm-hmm.
and allowing others to lead me. And I'm working on being able to respect authority, even if I don't like them as a person.
For me, it started when I had to scrub urinals.
Hmm. Well, is this in a job?
Yeah.
Never had to do that.
Working for. Yeah. I came on at the same time, and within 3 weeks of this position was up for manager. And I ended up turning the position down, and the other person that took that spot, I think had a lot of issues and felt a lot of insecurities.
Okay.
And I ended up, like, my job totally became, like, janitorial and, like, hey, I literally one time had one of the managers come up and go, we'll like your work and approve of your work when we see you on your hands and knees scrubbing every chair in this room.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And it was learning, like, that was so hard for me because it was terrible leadership. And I knew, like, there were so many things I wanted to help with. But it was one of the best things I ever had to do, because I learned how to lead still. Because by the end of it, by the time I left,
uh-huh.
I was being come to for how do we make this better? How do we make that better? Right. How can I, you know, invest in the relationships here?
They respected you.
Yeah, there was a high level. But that took months of me having to process. That was my own issue.
Right.
With how I was responding.
Hmm. So I guess with your childhood being able to, like, or having to be forced to grow up quicker mm-hmm. and lead, that put a taste in your mouth of, like, I just want to relax and sit back and kind of, you know,
be protected
and be led. That's cool. And I think that's important to be able to, you don't want to go the opposite way. And some people be like, well, that's all I know. And that's how I was raised. And I can't stand, like, narrow-minded people like that,
exactly.
That's all they know. And that's what they're going to do. And that's what people think about me and stuff that I do. They're like, you shouldn't do this. And I'm like, why do you say that? Well, that's just, you just don't do that. I'm like, yeah, because that's how you're raised. But, like, there's, open your perspective a little. I don't know.
Well, I think that's why we're talking. Because it's all about the emotional wholeness. And, like, allowing yourself to process through pain, process through trauma, process through everything that's made you you. Like,
now, okay, I want to definitely segue into that. That was a good segue. Because I wanted to hit on that process. Beth, you're really big on process.
Yes.
Right.
You also never asked me my weakness.
I thought we did. Crap. All right, rewind. Time out. What is your weakness? No,
but it can tie into process.
Okay, because I want to ask, what's your process? Because I know you're big on that. How do you process things? Like, what is your...
That's such a broad question.
Okay.
How...
What is process? What does that mean? In, like, when you speak of it,
finding my why and facing every aspect of it, facing every aspect of my tendency, what I normally lean to, the strengths I have, the weaknesses I have, and really digging into what is a learned behavior? What's a need that's not being filled? Is this a reaction out of pain or lack? Or is it honestly who I am?
So you try to be really present with yourself through situations
100%.
To be able to accurately process through it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, do you focus more on building or doubling down on your strengths or trying to overcome your weaknesses?
It's a twofold. You actually can't have one without the other if you're doing it right. So for me, when I first moved to North Carolina, I would sit and I would purposefully trigger myself.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Because, so I would find things that I knew would be a trigger point, would trigger pain, or would trigger a traumatic event that happened, or something that I knew, like the authority thing. Or for me, I had a lot of female wounds. So it was actually really, really hard for me to connect with women.
Okay.
So I would literally go out of my way to put myself in positions where I knew I would be triggered. So that I could see, because you're never actually going to know how you respond to a situation until you're in it.
Right.
You have a general idea.
Well, that's, and that's one thing that I've said in the podcast before. One thing that I am actually low-key scared about, I've never lost anyone I care about. People have died, families up, I don't care about them. Like, I've never been close to them, so mm-hmm. it doesn't affect me. That's something that I'm kind of nervous about. I've never experienced it, and I don't know how I'm going to react to it.
Yeah. Well, and there's a million and one things where that's the case. Mm-hmm. And I realized about a little over a year ago. Yeah, no, it was way over a year ago now, that I'm a better version of myself when I am standing next to somebody else. Like, better emotionally, better spiritually.
Standing in general or specific type of person? What do you mean standing beside some?
Like, in relationship. Okay. Like, if I am in relationship with someone, if I'm doing life with someone.
Right.
I am a 10 times better version of myself. I will strive for greatness at a level that have no idea
existed. Do you strive for greatness because you're trying to please them?
It's because of the push and the competition. The exact same reason why if on a heavy lift day, I want to work out
with somebody else.
People far ahead of me.
Right.
Because I know I will lift 10 times better.
Right. Like tonight.
If I'd been alone.
I was like, Beth. Ed's having me do 5 plates on leg press for 20 reps. I need your motivation. And we hit 20 reps.
He did it. A grinder. He did it. I'm so proud.
You're right, though. Okay. Because a lot of people, mm-hmm. they do. There's. Okay. If you're in a relationship, great. Like, and that's awesome. And if you're wanting to do better in that relationship, that's great. But I don't like it when people get in a relationship and they try to be better, but they're striving, which is something you've taught mm-hmm. me about. You don't need to strive. Like, that can go the wrong way. But like, they'll strive to be a better person to please mm-hmm. them, when that shouldn't be the core reason why they're trying to become better. You know what I'm saying?
You're doing a really good segue. You're doing a really good job.
Yeah.
So I realized that, and it made me really upset, because I was like, I'm in a position where I feel like I can't grow unless I'm in relationship with somebody, and I'm not okay with that. So I ended up asking the Lord, praying for several months for the Lord to bring someone into my life to mentor me. And I ended up putting myself under the authority of another woman, and then now her husband, so the couple.
You know, I love, okay, for a second when you said that, I was praying for the Lord to bring me. I thought you were going to say a guy.
Oh, no.
But like, no, you were like.
I was, because you, no spouse should ever have, no one should ever carry the mantle or the pressure of having to make me a better version of me.
Right.
It's too much pressure. It's ridiculous. It would destroy a relationship. Mm-hmm. No one can carry that. We'll naturally make each other better.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, you're supposed to be striving to pull each other up and pull each other closer.
Right.
But you cannot carry the weight and responsibility of that. I was like, no version of me should ever rely on someone else.
Agreed.
Like my spouse.
Agreed.
To pull me up. Which is why you I need chose to, a mentor.
Well, it's that, and that's, you need to kind of define that a little bit, because one thing in a relationship, you need to be independent, but the dependency to an extent is what makes a relationship so great, because there's a level of codependency that you need that person in your life. If you felt no need for them, that would drive you apart. So there is a level of you need to want them in your life and feel like they're a part of you, and you need them to complete you once you're in that type of relationship. I feel like.
Except for the fact that takes you out of the step with being completely whole with the Father. So if you step, and that's actually, I love how you use that word, that is my greatest weakness. Codependency. Codependency is my greatest weakness. Also, it huge, like our weaknesses and our flaws come from our past, come from what make us.
Right.
And my life taught me, how I was taught, every relationship I saw was codependent. Everything I saw was, and codependency, let me define it. Codependency is I have a need.
Right.
Or no, you have something you need from me, and I'm the only one that can fill it for you.
Right.
I have something you need that you cannot get anywhere else outside of me. And I have to be there with you in it to help you, to make you better.
Right.
And I can step into that in the business environment. I can step into that in friendship. Mm-hmm. I can step into that in romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. I step into that 100% with family.
Okay. Okay. Now, I want to bring it back to the God thing. So I agree with you. You know, you need to feel that with the Lord. There, you shouldn't. The only person you should be dependent on is God. Mm-hmm. I get that. But I kind of disagree with you on... Well, go ahead. Because finish what you're saying, and I want to see what you do. And that's good. I don't want to agree with everything you say. That would be a lame podcast. Yeah,
no, for sure.
So, but finish what you're saying. I want to see where you go with it.
Desire, 100%. Like, there should be attraction. There should be desire. There should be... you should be making each other better naturally. You should be pulling each other towards the Lord. You should feel like... I like who I am when I'm next to you.
Right.
That's all fantastic. Right. I 100% agree. But you are going to hit a place, like the entire idea of marriage is the choosing, is the very fact. What makes covenant so beautiful is my ability to say, I don't actually need you to survive or to walk in my calling, but I choose you. And I will choose you for the rest of my life. Mm. I choose you in every aspect of your mess. I choose you in every aspect of your past and your greatness.
That's solid.
And that's what makes the solidity. I mean, that's the best friend relationship.
Right.
That's the friendship. That's what's going to carry you through your lowest lows and your highest highs. It's
And that's, again, that's a big issue that I'm 17. I don't have anything figured out. None of us do. One thing I will say, though, is with the whole relationship thing, right? Like, love is not a feeling. If you go back and really look at what love is, especially if you tie the Bible to it, which is what you should do, because that's God is love, and that's like the root of what true love is. Love is a choice, and it's like an ongoing action, and it's not like a... Because emotions and feelings are inconsistent, but love is a constant, and it's a choice that you have to make to, like, when you go into a relationship with someone, it's your feelings are not always going to feel like love. You're not going to always feel lovey, but the love comes from choosing to be and stay with that person regardless of how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, that creates
more consistent.
Right. It becomes more consistent. It creates more of a bond. And your love becomes stronger over time because you're constantly choosing to love that person.
Yeah.
And that security and reassurance that you're choosing, like you were saying, it's I don't need you per se to live. I'm not dependent on you, but I'm choosing you. I want you and I want to be with you and do life with you.
Mm-hmm.
We did agree. Yeah, we did agree. Sorry. I did this podcast with Cameron Betch. I think that's how you say his name. Cameron Betch. And he's like, we definitely don't agree on stuff. And we did this podcast. I want to do another podcast with him. We were talking about like God and sex and like all kinds of weird stuff. And we were like, it was one of them like, I just have to completely agree to disagree with you because we were just like so not on the same page at all. And I loved it because there's a little bit of tension.
It's
I was like, interesting. Yeah. And that's one thing that I've learned about bringing different people on is everybody has different perspectives, and it's cool to see how your atmosphere and how you're raised can really affect your perspective on the world. And that's one thing that I've really tried to hone in on is, you know, my perspective. For me personally, I'm in that place where I'm trying to figure out like my why, like you talk about, which is a really big thing that we need to hit on.
Yep.
let's talk about that a little bit. So
okay.
We had a for those of you that didn't know, Beth and I, how long have we been friends?
Well, I've been in North Carolina for 6, almost 7 months.
That's so weird. I feel like we've known each other a long time.
I know. Just, I feel like wow. It's only been like 3 or 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
But we got really deep really fast.
Yeah. So one day I met Beth and I thought she's cute and stuff. And she.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And she asked if I wanted to come meet at the coffee shop. And I thought it was, I thought what? It was just like.
No, I think you asked me.
No. No. Because really? Remember you wanted to talk. And. Remember?
You wanted my testimony. And I was like, all right, well, but you tell me your story, I'll tell you mine.
But you're like, let's go meet her for coffee. Oh, and okay, I thought, I was like, okay, cool. She just wants to meet for coffee. Great. We'll talk. We'll have a good talk. Like, so, where are you from? What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite burger?
Yeah, your burger. So, what's the family situation like? No. So, we get to this coffee shop. Oh, and I kid you not, by the end of this conversation, in not a sexual way, I feel like she literally ripped all my clothes off, sprayed me down with water, and left me in the middle of Times Square, butt naked in the freezing cold after our conversation.
Is this a compliment?
Sure. Because I had never felt so vulnerable in my entire life. The cool thing is...
Why, though? Why did you feel so vulnerable?
Because I've never been forced, because it was forced. I've never been forced to think about the reason I do things. The cool thing is, by the end of the conversation, it was uplifting because I did realize that I was in it for the right reasons, which was a huge revelation for me. Mm. I didn't know where that was going to go. So, anyways, all that to be said, what is your why? And that was the big question of that night was, what is your why? So, I want to kind of take everyone that's listening through that in a way.
Yeah.
Almost, like, I know you can't talk back with us right now, but I feel like we could almost, Beth, if you could somehow, let's process through
okay.
what... And help them figure out what their why is,
mm-hmm.
and we can elaborate on that before we kind of close it out for the sure. night.
So when we talk about finding your why, it's honestly another way of saying it, because every person comes in with their own language. We speak English, but we have our own language, our own way of describing things.
Right.
So finding your why is like another way of saying it is, what is your motivation for your actions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Simple. Cool. Everybody's got what. So what is your why? Break it down.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What motivates you to do what you do? Why do you do the things that you do?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So in acting class, they would make you sit down and actually watch yourself fold a load of laundry or wash the dishes and actually look at every small detail that your hands are making, your facial expressions, like what's going through your head. Be aware of what's motivating your action right now. So then you apply that to emotionally and making decisions and your thought process. Finding your why is love motivating you here? Is unconditional love motivating you, or is shame motivating you?
Wow.
I see so many people who are motivated by shame and they have no idea.
Oof. Big
they,
oof.
They have no idea. And they wonder why they fall. They wonder why they fall back into pattern.
So shame. So what do you mean motivated by shame?
Shame. Well,
Are we talking about they're ashamed of their past mistakes or their circumstances, who they are?
Oh, yeah, it could be all of that.
So
could
so
be your past. For me, one example is I carried a ton of shame in being single. And okay. I had no idea. I had no clue
that
I was operating
that. So you weren't even aware
yeah.
that you were ashamed of that and you were doing all these things
mm-hmm.
because you were... What?
And that
what
was literally
of...
holding me back from walking in fullness now.
Hmm.
Because wow. I felt like... I felt shame for somehow me not having someone next to me or not having a ring on my finger meant I wasn't worth anything.
Wow.
Or I was too.
So you were trying to look for your worth in the approval of someone else, versus in God, at the time.
It wasn't that I was looking for it. It was that I still associated that same shame to it. So I connected it. So I knew I was filled in God. My head knew all of that. But because my heart was still in alignment, I like to say I divorced my singleness from shame. Hmm. I literally like cut that cord.
Right.
Because it was literally changing the way I chose to walk. I was walking in a place of feeling lack, mm-hmm. feeling less than, mm. instead of walking in authority.
Right. That
this is a huge opportunity and this is fantastic and this has nothing to, like, this is such a testament of who I actually am and who I get to be. And like, there's so much joy in it once I divorced it from shame. And it doesn't mean I did love it all the time.
Of course, no.
It doesn't mean I'm always happy.
We're humans.
Yeah, but it's walking in abundance versus in lack.
And having joy. Because joy is internal. Happiness is external.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness can be affected by your outward circumstances, but you can have joy. It's cliche, but you can have joy through the midst of your storm. You can't happiness and the type of happiness I'm talking about, you know, sadness, happiness. You can't have happiness if you're sad, but you can have joy while you're sad. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And that's something that my mom's really big on, is joy. It's like her word. You know how thrives my word forever. Well, hers is joy. And so when your why is not motivated by shame, you can mm-hmm. have joy. Motivated by shame, you can have joy.
Because shame will throw you into codependency. Shame will throw you into pattern. If your motivation is don't, it's bad, you're bad, this is like,
mm-hmm.
if that's everything that's keeping you at bay,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a place where you're too tired,
right?
Where your guard is down, like, and you are going to break, and then it's going to, you're going to step back into this must be who I am,
mm-hmm.
instead of this was a mistake or this was a reaction or this was a tendency I stepped back into,
mm.
a shame spiral instead mm. of who you actually are.
Right.
Whereas if you're motivated by love, if your why is unconditional love,
mm-hmm.
then you get to step into, like, it's literally like a world opens up before you because you're no longer people pleasing. You're no longer having to give a shit
right.
what everyone, like anyone says, like you're
right.
You're completely.
That's my phrase. I don't care what people think. It's such a burden. It's a burden lifted off of you.
Exactly. Like you step into fullness. Like the level you allow, I always say this, the level you allow yourself to be known is the level you actually know you.
Mm.
And that's so true of our relationship with people, but especially with
that.
God.
You need to pause that and rewind it and say that again.
So the level you allow yourself to be known by God is the level you actually know you. The level you allow yourself to be known by people is the level you actually know you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
if you never allow that access, then you're closing off revelation about yourself to yourself,
yeah.
by not being
and
transparent.
Your ability to grow.
Right.
That's why I purposefully triggered myself for so long, because I wanted to know what actually was there. I wanted to know what were my tendencies. How did I respond to things?
Mm.
Because then I could face it and go, all right, where does this tie back into? What memory, what trauma, what... or what good thing, like, did this bring out where I'm like, wow, I had no idea that I would respond that way.
Mm.
It enables me to step into healing growth so that I can step into a place with any relationship, friendship, like anything.
Right.
A more whole and healthy version of myself, which means I'm bringing a better version of myself to the table.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we should all do.
Influence and give.
Nobody wants a crappy version of you. Sorry, Bill. Okay. Like, I'm just saying, like,
so random.
High level A people don't want to hang out with level B people, Bill. So step up your game.
I was about to say it.
Be like Alvin. No. So, okay. How super, super practical. What are some things that we all can do to figure out what our why is. Or if we know what it is and it's motivated by shame, how do we overcome that and make it unconditional love?
I'm gonna hit on the second one first, just because it popped in my head a little bit faster. So as a Christian, you have to invite unconditional love in, like with the Father. Like, that's one of the biggest steps, at least for me. At least for me. Like, this is everything I'm saying is my story.
Right.
Is how I got to this place of wholeness. It's, you know, you get to choose it. You get to step away from it. It's entirely up to you.
Yeah, and that's God gives.
There's and it's different for different people. But if you realize you're being motivated by shame, it's allowing yourself to fully accept that first.
Yeah, of course.
To recognize it fully, go, okay, this is what it is.
Because you can't be too prideful and egotistic. Yeah. Is that the word? I don't know.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Egotistic. And shun that and just let's
ignore it.
Let's ignore that.
Because everything you put back in the closet will come back out.
That's right. That is right.
Always.
And it's going to come out at the worst possible time that you could possibly imagine, because that's how life is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So first recognizing that and then choosing yourself in that moment. So literally going... Or for me, I would go, Beth, I love you and choose you, the judgmental version of you. I choose and love the Beth in high school that was so consumed with pain and judgment and religion that I could not look at people with love. I love you and I choose you. And I'm not disappointed in you because you were doing the best you knew how in that moment. Like, that's a revelation we all have to come to, is that in our moments of pain, honestly, when we make decisions, looking back, asking yourself, was I doing the best I knew how in that moment? With the information given to me, with the pain I was experiencing that I had never met before, was I doing the best I knew how to cope?
Right.
Because then you can go, all right, it's not defining me, it's not controlling me, it's actually putting you back in the power realm. The biggest issue, like, we can step into so much pain or so many bad behaviors because we feel powerless to a situation or to our past.
Yeah.
If you can step back into, hey, I'm actually not a victim here, I'm powerful, I can choose, I can make decisions. You're being put back in a position where you're not the victim. And so it's removing, it's putting you back in responsibility, which that carries a lot of weight and some people aren't ready for it.
Well, yeah, but I say that with me, and this is a big thing with my parents, is, again, I'm 17, but the way that my parents have parented me is so not the norm. But it has allowed me... When you allow yourself choices and freedom to choose for yourself, you don't want to do bad stuff as much. Like, straight up, like, the ability.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just have a crazy story about it.
Go ahead.
Okay, so...
I want to hear it.
When I first started working with my life coach, I was going through some things, and I struggled. I was consumed with shame. Like, it motivated absolutely everything I did. I felt like a victim to everything. And a lot of my pain and trauma was completely valid. Like, it's understandable how I had the thought processes and whatnot. But
your circumstances affect
goal,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Her goal, though, was to bring me back into a position of power. So literally, one of the first pieces of homework she gave me was, every time your heart wants something, like, you feel a burning desire to do or have something, you have to sit and give your heart permission to do and have it. Right. And then see what happens.
Wow.
She's like, no matter what, your homework is, you have to say yes to your heart and give your heart permission for everything.
Not necessarily act on it, but give yourself the choice and not basically I'm not saying, no, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. Well, is that what you're saying?
So that's what my biggest, yeah. So the next night, I had a huge family thing go down, and my escape or my way to try and process things is I'll jump in my car and just go driving out to the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So I ended up leaving, and I got to, I'll never forget this, I got to a red light, and all of a sudden, this is really, like, vulnerable and raw, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to a red light, and all of a sudden, I was consumed and absolutely overwhelmed with a burning desire to go to the nearest bar, get completely wasted, make out with a stranger, and then go sleep with another.
Right.
Like, literally, it was, like, this full plan. Like, and I had never... Never, like, if you know me, you know my personality. Like, I've never had anything like that before.
Right.
Or felt a desire like that. And I started crying. I was like, I cannot do this. This was literally the first desire I had since being given that homework. And I remember sitting and I was crying. I asked God, I was like, if I do this, I need to know that you're going to be bigger and sovereign over whatever decision I make, because I have no idea what I'll do when my heart has permission to do this.
That's deep.
And
that's awesome.
I sat there and I put my hand on my heart and I said, Beth, if you need to go get completely drunk to feel better tonight, I give you permission and I will not be disappointed in you. Beth,
now,
if you need
now,
to go.
Now, was that you speaking to yourself?
Yeah, because I'm literally speaking to my heart.
Because God does not want you. No part of God says, hey, if you need to go have sex with somebody to make you feel better tonight, it's okay.
Yeah.
No.
No.
But you're saying
giving my heart permission for that because I was in a process of breaking off shame from being my motivation.
Okay.
Because I would have eventually broken.
Okay.
If I had continued in that cycle.
Keep talking. We got to bring it around because I want you to finish this thought before I agree or disagree.
So then I was like, if you need to go make out with 10 different guys because it's going to take this, you think it's going to take this pain away.
Have you ever done any of that previously?
No.
So you had never even kissed a guy before?
No.
And you just all of a sudden were like.
Like, that was not in my character. It was not my personality.
You think it was
nothing.
The enemy?
You gonna let me finish my story?
Well, do you think it's in me?
Are you gonna finish my story?
Yeah, you finish your story.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The moment I spoke those words over myself, instantly I felt in my heart, everything pulled back, and my heart was like, no, that's not actually what I want. I feel so deprived of love right now because of what's going on in my family. I feel so disconnected and so unchosen. I feel so unwanted right now that I just thought that maybe would fill it, but I know it won't. And I ended up turning my car. I'd made it all the way to that bar. And I had turned around and I drove back and had the sweetest time with the Lord, letting Him speak that love and affirmation over me. But it came in my moment because what I realized was letting shame control my decisions actually was me being too afraid that God wasn't bigger than the mistakes I would make.
Wow.
It was actually me trying to be in control. Because if I could motivate myself enough with shame to keep from doing something that would disappoint Him or defame Him, then I was in control and I was protecting Him. I was protecting His name. Hey, codependency. I was protecting Him. Instead of me trusting that, hey, I have permission technically to do anything. Yeah. I mean, that's even scriptural.
Yeah, yeah, He gives.
Technically, I have permission to do anything. But I can only step into unconditional love in that area when I trust that He is actually sovereign. And that even if I screw up on a worse day, He's big enough to be able to heal that and renew that and use it to bring more glory to His name. Like, that was actually the heart issue going on there. That was what needed to be attacked. Because it was an area, any place you feel anxiety, fear, or a desire to control in, shame in, guilt in, is simply an area you don't know unconditional love in yet. And if you can be met with the unconditional love of the Father in that moment, in that place, it literally changes your mindset because you're no longer powerless to it. You're no longer being controlled by it. You are actually stepping in authority. Because your motivation is now, it doesn't have boundaries. Shame is boundaries. Shame is you can't because you're bad or because it will make you something. It will be your identity.
Right.
Unconditional love is it doesn't matter how messy you get, how many times you screw up, what your past looked like, you're chosen here.
Beth, I appreciate it. There'll be more to come. Thank you for everybody that's listening. Continue to support the Thrive Daily podcast. Hope everyone has a good day, a good night. If you're driving when you're listening to this, if you're getting ready for bed, if you're in the shower, washing your sweaty body off, whatever it may be, I pray that you thrive on the daily. If you're eating ice cream, I pray that you're thriving on the daily and you're constantly progressing and learning more about your weaknesses and your process and being able to thrive and be present in your singleness and feel whole in that. And hopefully you figured out more about your why. That's a big one.
Yeah, your motivation.
What is your why? Appreciate you guys. Talk to you in the next one. Peace.